Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it. Your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Tim Kaine of the Hoover Institution. Tim is an economist specializing in national security, immigration, and GDP. And we're looking at a new report, Beyond GDP, Looking Deeper at Prosperity, Progress, and the Nature of Value. This is a product of a research over a long period of time involving 1,000 and then 51 people responding to questions they're asked about what they value in their lives, goods, services, senses, property, values, all of that. And in order to compare and contrast to what we understand is the GDP of the nation. Tim, a very good evening to you. We begin with Adam Smith, 1776, The Wealth of Nations, and his story of diamonds and water. How does that help us understand how people regard value in their lives? Good evening to you, Tim.
Oh, thanks, John. Well, Adam Smith, I remember learning this lesson in my Econ 101 lectures, and then it's one that I enjoyed giving. So Adam Smith, when he was trying to understand the laws of supply and demand, and he didn't quite get them, but he found this parable that actually goes back to the ancient Greeks, which is, what's more valuable, you know, a bucket full of diamonds or a bucket full of water? And ironically, water's almost costless. Here in America, it's half a cent per gallon that you can get from the tap. But it has tremendous utility. And yet diamonds, and here's, you know, our favorite Scott, he said diamonds have no utility at all. They're just baubles. And yet they're highly valued because they're rare. So that mismatch of, you know, a lot of supply versus low in supply, it gives us a hint at value. And all these years have gone by, and I thought, let's go back to his original question about the difference between valuing something's utility and value that it gets in the marketplace. Because I think we're not measuring, John, I don't think we're measuring the value of things in our economy.
The way you approach this was important because you're looking for people's assumptions about what's important in their lives at different parts of their lives. Because there's the demographics here stretch over the whole course, the seven ages of man. All right. The 1,000 and the 51 super evaluators. How did you approach them, Tim?
Well, so initially I put out a contest and it was advertised in a few places, asking people, you could win money if you'll come do this online survey, and we didn't tell them what the contest was. Well, over 1,000 Americans volunteered, and they could win a $75. And we would ask questions like, how much is your mobile phone worth you? Not how much would you pay for it. How much would I have to pay you to give up a mobile phone for a full year? And if you cheated, you wouldn't get the money. And we got back, you know, a wide range of responses. The prize turned out to be, we would ask the same battery of questions after they did it the first time. And then it was, what is the average American valuing that phone at? And if you can guess what the average American's guess is, which was the average of responses, then you win the prize money. And so it was over a range of, I forget now, let's say 10 or 15 different goods. We identified some really good, I call them super evaluators, and asked them to come back and do this much more in-depth survey of 101 things, some in the economy and some unmeasured. And those are the 51 people responded, and those are super evaluators that are the basis of this report you can find online.
All right. The 101 are broken down into durables 24, non-durables 21, services 25, public goods 11,
right.
Rights 8, senses and abilities 8, status and others 4. So that's the breakdown. What is WTA? What is WTP? Why are you measuring those things, Tim?
So if you remember your Econ 101 class and we constructed a demand curve, the demand curve is what are you willing to pay for an icy cold Coca-Cola, right? And some people would pay $3 for it. If it was a hot day, they might pay $5 for it at Disneyland. Other people would say, I'm not going to pay more than 25 cents because that's what I used to pay when I was a kid at the vending machine. But there are a range of willing to pay. That's what we see in the marketplace. You know, in the intersection of supply and demand, we get a price. My approach is, what's your WTA, your willingness to accept cash, not to use something? And so that's what I was trying to collect. And the WTA-WTP gap is actually pretty famous in economics. It's been identified in lab experiments. Some people say it's a sign of irrationality. My research is sort of, you know, rationality strikes back. No, it's rational to put really high value on things that aren't in the marketplace, like your vision. The ability to walk. You don't buy those, and yet to lose them, you'd be willing to be given a lot of money in exchange for giving those things up.
The present GDP of the United States, as agreed upon by authorities, is $22.1 trillion. Trillion dollars. All right.
It's a lot of money.
Two-thirds of that being personal consumption, and then the rest being broken down into other categories. However, you're challenging whether that GDP is accurate as to how we live our lives. Is that correct, Jim?
Absolutely. I mean, John, do you remember a time before there were color televisions? Because that's how I grew up. I remember a house where we didn't have air conditioning. We didn't have computers, for goodness sakes. I remember mom and dad getting the very first microwave and, frankly, even dishwasher. So my interest in this is growing up in a household that didn't have a lot of things that now not only do we take them for granted, but they cost pennies. I mean, you can get a microwave for $50 at almost any store, Target or a Sears. So, I've been fascinated how there's all this value for really low price the commodities that are durable goods.
We have to go to inside the study here, what people were evaluating. I'm struck by how jewelry comes out poorly. I really am. given the romance of Hollywood and television and songs, it turns out that Adam Smith knew something. Is that the conclusion here, Tim?
I think that's a good conclusion. So let's use something. Let me try to find the jewelry in the tables. And all the data is available for anyone who wants this Beyond GDP report.
It's online right now. You can just go to the Hoover site and you'll find it. Go ahead, Tim.
So we were able to calculate the expenditures per capita. We took those GDP numbers, divided by the American population. And so, for example, Americans pay $212 per person on average in the U.S. on their pets. 212. But if I were to pay you to give up your pets, or the average American, for a full year, well, the average response was $5,000. So the ratio of the 200 to the 5,000, it's about 0.04. And we found ratios that were, you know, the expenditures tended to be about 5%, but sometimes 1% of the value, the utility value we have. And you're right, jewelry was more like 1 to 5. So it's not nearly as valuable as our, you know, Fidos.
Yes, and our Fidos, if you were to ask me what you would have to pay to give up my pet, there is no amount of money. Did you get that answer?
Yeah.
Often, you know, there is no price I will set.
There were some very high responses, and that's what we found. It's what made some people skeptical of this approach. It's called hypothetical bias. But it's not a hypothetical for you. It's real. There are some things that we value infinitely. So as I was saying, I think folks that are calling you irrational for high value, maybe it's your 68, you know, Mustang. There are just some things that are you know, worth millions of dollars. But our approach said, what does the median person or the average person value them? And you get those, then you get more moderated responses.
Yes, I'm reminded again and again that your study is not just about goods or services. It's also about value. So we're going to turn to what we value in our lives, what we would take to give it up for a year, if anything. Tim Kaine is an economist specializing in national security and immigration and GDP at the Hoover Institution. The new study is online, available for everyone to read, and we will do what we can to describe some surprises here about ages and attitudes and memories. Beyond GDP, looking deeper at prosperity, progress, and the nature of value. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it. Your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.